Corona hiccup. Speedy Irishman Connor McKenna has a virus scare, showing why the league's protocols are strictly in place. You bet. Eddie Betts shows no signs of slowing down as his Blues defy the odds to win a thriller at the Cattery. In holiday mode, critics raise question marks over what's next for our WA teams after both going down by 5 goals. All this and more in today's edition of the Centre Square podcast, where we catch up with a former Docker and Saints 100-plus gamer.
And I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Clark of the Fremantle Football Club.
She from the boundary needs to be his perfect years. He's got the most impossible goal. From inside the centre square, Boyce kicked the goal.
Just when you thought it was all smooth sailing, this wonderful game of ours has been struck. Luckily, it could be a lot worse and not as bad as first thought. Hello, everybody, to the Centre Square podcast on 91.3 Sport FM, your football headquarters. Ethan Roth with you on the eve of round four alongside Noah Tonkin and Luca Vinning. Boys, these crazy times continue, but the WAFL has been announced for July 18, so you can pencil that in.
Yeah, no, it's good to finally have a fixed date for WAFL. I think August 1 the original state, but it's good to get it pushed forward. So I know a couple of our mates around will be playing Colts footy. So, you know, more footy will be much better. So, Noah, how are you going?
I'm going well. Good to see the WAFL starting to get back. But yeah.
Yeah, so plenty to get through today. We do, of course, talk to footy's best talent. And we have an in-studio guest next to you two, someone I know who Noah is a fan of and was pretty upset when he left the Mighty Purple. Pick 43 under the father-son rule in the 2003 AFL draft. 75 games for Fremantle, 43 for St Kilda, making for a total of 118, snagging 62 goals. He also represented Australia 2 times at international rules level. It's Brett Peake. Brett, thanks for giving up your time to come chat with us today.
No, it's a pleasure, boys. Thanks for having me.
It's just us four today. The others couldn't make it, so they've sent their tips in, which we'll get to later, as well as In Strife, Good Call, Bad Call, and the quiz, which Brett will compete in. But, Brett, we're going to get straight into it. You're part of a well-known and proud footballing family. Your dad, Brian, is a bit of a footy icon, especially over here in the West, being an East Fremantle Premiership player, State of Origin captain, Sandover medalist, Hall of Fame member, and the list really goes on. Can you tell us his influence on you, and when did you realise you wanted to play at the highest level?
Yeah, obviously the old man's accomplished a lot in his career, and having a father that has played at the top level and growing up, you know, it's something that sort of just comes naturally. You know, you're evolved and around footy clubs your whole life since I was born, pretty much. I was obviously born over in Geelong. A lot of people don't know that. So he was over there for 3 years playing for the Cats, and then I was lucky enough to remember, you know, some of his last games. I would have been around about 7 when he was finishing off sort of East Fremantle, and then again his last year at Perth. So he had a big influence. Obviously, any father has an influence on their son, whether it be sporting academically or just growing up and educating them to be the person that they grow into. So, yeah, he had a massive impact, very calm, never pushed me into it, coached a lot of the junior sides that I played in, which sort of was good. But football, really, sort of every kid, I think, I speak on behalf of every kid that plays, you know, junior footy to sort of senior footy, they have an ambition to play AFL. I was no different. Gary Ablett was, you know, the idol when I grew up. And it just was one of those things. And I wasn't a very talented junior. I got cut from many combined sides, and sort of I gave the game away for a period. Yeah. So, yeah, one of those things that it eventuated out, and I was lucky enough to play the game that we all love.
Yeah, that would have been tough as well, not knowing exactly where your path would have been. But you did play more games than your father. Did you ever get into him about that?
Yeah, of course. can't get him on much, so might as well get him on playing more AFL games than him. But nah, that's obviously just a father-son rivalry. I've got to try to peg him. I think I got more Brownlow votes as well off the top of my memory than him. So one of those things. That's a personal banter that I'll always have one over him.
Yeah. Heading into draft night, did you know that the Dockers were going to take you?
Yeah, I was a bizarre pickup. I was lucky enough to train with Fremantle, and I spoke about this a little while back. I was lucky enough to train with Fremantle when they were heading into the 2000, and you guys might quote me here, my memory's not the greatest anymore. 2003, I think it was their first finals campaign against Essendon.
Yeah, Essendon.
And I was lucky enough to train every Thursday night. I was a fourth-year plumbing apprentice, and I was lucky enough to go and train 5 weeks before the finals. And I remember rocking up in my old trusty Hilux and with my work clothes on, my blue stubby shorts. And I remember running out. It was the Thursday night before, I think it was a Saturday final at Subi. And there was a crowd of like 10,000 people at Fremantle Oval. And I was late, got caught in traffic.
I remember
running out. I wasn't even drafted. Running out onto Fremantle Oval, getting to train with the first Fremantle team to play in a final. And I just remember, you know, I got there and they were finishing their stretching and I just absolutely copped it for rocking up late. You know, the most important game that they're heading into. And I was lucky enough to train with them. Yeah, I did know I was getting father-sonned at that time, which sort of made it a little bit easier transition because I knew a long way out that that's why they have father-son. You know, it's a pick that is put away for those opportunities. So, yeah, it was a very unique opportunity to be able to train, and I also was lucky enough to go away with them to London in the same year and watch them play Fremantle in an exhibition game. So very unique welcoming into the AFL system.
No doubt. Well, you said you already knew, but what was it like getting your name actually read out? And you'd been pretty happy that you were staying in Perth, I imagine.
Yeah, it was a funny one. Obviously, a lot of people were, I suppose, look on the TV back then, you know, radio, and get their name called out. I was actually away. So it was one of those things that, because I knew, I didn't have to listen to it.
No pressure.
Yeah, but I've spoken to a lot of people that, even some young draft hopefuls over the last sort of 5 years, were still being involved in footy, and it is a nervous time for them. At the end of the day, what will be, you know, it's out of their control. You can only play the footy and let the recruiters do the rest, and hopefully your name does get picked out. But I could imagine it would be very daunting.
So round 13, 2005 comes by, probably one of the best days of your life. When did you find out that you'd be making your debut? And, you know, you must have done all right to end up playing about 9 of the last 10 games that season.
Yeah, I think I was close a couple of weeks before. I was going to make my debut, once again, quote me if I'm wrong, I think they played Sydney the week before and I was close to it. That was going to be my debut game.
Did you fly over for that?
Yeah, I flew over for it. And I'm pretty sure the story goes, I had someone very close to me that passed away at that time. And I didn't play that game. And then it was the Monday, I think it was a Sunday game, flew back Monday, Tuesday, that I got told that I was playing. So I knew early on in the week, which obviously, you know, you're very excited. You get the nerves. It was against North Melbourne.
It would have been a long week as well, because if it's at the start of the week, it seems to go for ages, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, but you can get rid of those nerves. You know, it's something that
time to adjust. Yeah,
every kid wants to, you know, the debut game in front of a home crowd, which is always good. So I got time to sort of settle before game day.
Yeah, so you arguably had your best year in 2006 as the team did make a preliminary final. What seemed to click, and even though you got 10 Brownlow votes that season, we believe you weren't actually invited to the Brownlow night. So what happened there?
Yeah, another story. I reckon it was probably due because I like to have a good time. And I had a good year. Obviously, Brownlow votes don't necessarily mean, you know, too much because it obviously is a team game. Would have I liked to go? Yeah, it would have been pretty good to rub shoulders with the best of the best. I think I ended up going away on a surfing trip. So it was one of those things that, you know, the old folklore. It is what it is, but it would have been good to go.
Yeah, sounds like something Noah would do. He loves the surf. But you got 3 best on ground performances that year, didn't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm someone that doesn't really go back and look. That year went really, really quickly. You know, I think I got dropped early on in the year, then came back and the team just clicked. We had a lot of superstar individuals, and sometimes that can go against you. But once we hit, I think we won 9 or 10 in a row, and everyone just clicked and we just played. I just remember rocking in on a Monday. Everyone was upbeat. The weeks just rolled on. Everyone knew what they had to do once the first bounce went. and everyone was in it as a team. It was a really enjoyable period through sort of my career, and to get so close. I reckon we were the best team heading into sort of the finals. And I still remember, I think we played Adelaide and lost, and we're flying home listening to Sydney Eagles. And we needed it to go the way of Eagles to win. No, this is going into the first final when we lost over in Adelaide. And we were on the plane back, and we needed the Eagles to win because it meant we would have beat Melbourne the following week, which meant we would have played a semi-final against Eagles at home, who we were more than confident to sort of beat them.
You had the wood over them that year.
Yeah, but that's sport. That's sport. We ended up having to play probably one of the most toughest teams, Sydney, in Sydney, at ANZ Stadium. So, you know, the Bloods, the way that they sort of unite together and bond, it's sort of folklore in football, but got the opportunity and just fell short.
Yeah, Spewin, could you describe the experience of versing the Irish in the same year at just 22 years of age, rubbing shoulders with some of the best AFL players and also playing against some of the quality Gaelic players? What was that like?
Yeah, had Kevin Sheedy, who's a plumber also, so had him as the coach, and it was interesting being young, going over there, not knowing, you know, how hard you trained. What was it, more of a bonding sort of 2 week period? Kevin was pretty full on. He was we trained hard. Don't put that past him. But we also had a really good time together as well. And once again, you know, Michael Voss was over there. You know, his stats say it all. So, and he was a really leader of the young guys. So to get to play alongside him and some others, and that was the year that Fev went over there and got done and got sent back. I was actually there that night that it happened. It was all surreal, and to play, you know, a hybrid game, which I think, you know, was fantastic. Great opportunity over there, you know, in front of 80,000 at Croke Park was, you know, you think 110,000 at the G's loud. We'll go over there and listen to them. They know how to party, they know how to celebrate, and they know how to cheer their team on. So, yeah, that got pretty fiery, that clash. So it was good to be a part of.
Yeah, and you guys won an aggregate.
Yeah, we ended up losing the first game, won the second game quite convincingly. And, it, as I said, got quite fiery, which, you know, we had Barry Hall on our side. So when you got Big Bad Baz on your side, you're laughing. So really good experience, really good.
And did it feel a bit like exhibition matches nearly, or...?
The first one, because the first one was played down in the south and it was a smaller crowd. That one probably did, but the second one, it was all game on. Yeah. Like, you just knew the crowd, you know, most of them were Irish, walking to the ground, chanting, you know, that's what they do. It felt like it was game on. And the first game, they beat us by 6 points. So on an aggregate point of view, it wasn't like, well, you're going into a bit of a washout game. It was on. 6 points is nothing in Gaelic footy. So it certainly felt like there was a lot on the line. You know, pride, bring the trophy home. So, yeah, all the boys were fired up, trained hard, partied hard, and came away with the trophy.
I really hope they do more international rules series, because I remember that, I think the last one, well, there was one in Perth at Domain Stadium, which is now knocked down, but the spectacle there is so good. I remember being at that, and I think it's pretty underrated.
As a player, it's a great opportunity, but I think, you know, the two things that should always happen in football is obviously the international rules series, if it's not every year, every second year, and obviously, you know, a hot topic around in all footy circles over the years is State of Origin. Yeah. So they're probably the two that I think, you know, the AFL should really put everything in their powers to do. I know it's a commercial game, it's a commodity, the players are a commodity, but at the end of the day, to represent your state at the highest level, that's what every young kid, maybe not so much for you guys, but for me, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, State of Origin, the best of the best. And they wanted to play. That's what I would love to see come back.
Mm.
Yeah. Swinging back to footy, in 2007 you broke your collarbone, and then a couple of seasons later you were dropped towards the back end of the season in 2009, which eventually led to you requesting a trade away from the club. What spurred your move, and how was the transition over to the Saints?
Yeah, it was obviously my decision. You know, it was a pretty mutual an agreement. I'd been at Fremantle, I was probably stalling. You know, it was really good to get out of your comfort zone and go over to the East and experience Melbourne life of football. So once I'd made the decision, it was really only between two clubs, between St Kilda and Sydney. St Kilda it was, and they opened me with open arms. I just remember I had my first meeting was the Monday. This is bizarre. This is how professional Nick Riewoldt and Lenny Hayes were. The first meeting was Monday after they had lost the 2009 grand final.
Oh,
no
way.
Jesus.
So I found that straight away, my first meeting was with them too, after they had just lost the biggest game. That's when I knew.
That would have gone a long way.
Oh, it was huge. It was, respect levels went through the roof. Oh, yeah. For them to, you know, they could have been easily on the gas, you know, drowning their sorrows, but they knew they were good enough to go again, and that just shows the type of calibre that those two gentlemen are, but also the St Kilda Footy Club at that time as well. So, yeah, well, I suppose I think back on it now and you go, you know, that's pretty big. That wouldn't happen at most clubs to do that. You know, they would sort of push it down, but they were in grand final, they were in sort of premiership mode, so sometimes you got to do what it takes, whatever it takes.
Yeah, it definitely shows the character. How was the first pre-season? It would have been pretty intense as everyone would have been looking for redemption.
Yep, I rocked over there early. I won't lie, I went over there a little bit underdone. Obviously, the main, you know, senior statesman didn't come back until 3 weeks after, so I got to train. I was the oldest and got to train with all the first to 3 years, which was good because it was a nice, easy transition into it. But I got to get down to work and get my body in peak condition heading into the 2000, pardon the pun, into the 2010 year. So it was a really good sort of transition over there. I suppose didn't know too many people until the senior guys came back and then really sort of took on board the way that they do things.
Yeah, well, it must have been a real welcoming environment as well. Did you feel like you settled in well with it?
St Kilda were, as I say, you know, you got 48 players, give or take, on a list. And, you know, it is hard because you're fighting for spots. But it was always like one big group over there. It was like everyone sort of trained together, and then a lot of the people, you know, did things outside together. So, yeah, they had it down pat. Obviously, you know, you don't get to two grand finals in a row and be sort of a powerhouse that they were. I know they didn't, and we didn't when I was there, get the ultimate glory. But I believe they were, you know, through that period, one of the good sides in the AFL that, unfortunately, you sort of didn't come away with that thing that, you know, people remember.
Many people, I should say that Nick Riewoldt and all those guys, if they just had a premiership, they would be so much higher up the ranks. But, you know, I don't think that's fair because, you know, as you said, it was still a successful time.
Yeah, the funny thing is, what do you define success by?
That's right.
The question that, you know, gets asked all the time. You know, so was, you know, if you go by premierships, you go, were St Kilda successful? Well, no. But some of those players are going to go down as some of the greatest, well, easily the greatest in the last decade, two decades. But some of them, you know, some of the greatest to play the game. You know, we had a pretty stacked side. So, yeah, it's a tough one. You know, every time you bring up that sort of era, being so close twice, like legitimately in 2009 when I wasn't there, and then 2010, you know, it was the roll of the ball. You know, we could be a different story. But unfortunately, that's sport. There's a winner and a loser. As long as you learn from failure, you move forward.
Yeah, of course. You made your debut for St Kilda in round one of 2010. Managed to kick a goal and rack up 14 touches. Also got the win that day. Did you expect to find your rhythm so early, also playing as an outside winger? Was it easier at the MCG than it was at Subi because the wings were so much larger and the ground so bigger?
I loved Subi. Subi was a big ground. Obviously, it was long, and then you go over and play a lot at MCG and Docklands or whatever they call it now, Eddie had. I think it's Marvel Stadium now.
Yeah,
there you
Marvel
go.
Now,
they keep
yeah.
on changing the names.
They do.
So between those two, obviously, Marvel Stadium, we'll call it, was a real quick track. But the MCG is the mecca of football. Like, it's the best ground. It's a coliseum. You know, everyone that goes there, whether it be a player, supporter, whatever, it's just magic. It really is. So I love playing at the MCG, but I love playing at Subi because Subi was, you know, home for a long period of time.
Yeah, and speaking of the MCG, so for the rest of the 2010 year, you ended up playing all 23 games and the four finals. Can you remember the feeling in the rooms before the grand final? Since I know a lot of the boys had played the year prior and you were one of the only ones not to, did any of the boys try and calm you down and you know, tell you to treat it as just another match?
Yeah, it was a funny one because a lot of them had played. They were really relaxed. We'd had a pretty good finals campaign. We lost, obviously, Nick for a period of the year, so a lot of people had to step up. I just remember the only confusing thing was the warm-up and everything was a little bit different. You had to train down in the underground car park on the concrete, and you got to go out for a little kick, because they've got all the music going on and all that sort of nonsense. So it was a little bit different, but that was the only thing. Some of the best leaders to play the game we had in Riewoldt, Goddard, Hayes, Montagna, Del Sano, they were really cool, calm and collective. They knew the job that they had to get done. So everyone was ready to go that day. Obviously, the rest is history.
The actual game itself, Collingwood get off to a flyer and got your four goals behind at halftime. What was Ross Lyon's message at that point? Because you guys turned it around and many thought that Brendan Goddard's mark would do it for you. If the game did go to 5 minutes extra time, do you think you would have won as you had all the momentum?
Yeah, Ross was pretty calm at halftime. I remember going in down the race and Lenny Hayes just started speaking and then Nick took over. They knew what had to be done. They didn't shy away from, the 24-point deficit. And when you got a coach like Ross, he's easily the best coach that I've ever been coached by. He just laid it on the line. He knew that we were capable of coming back. 24 points in a grand final is decent. It's five goals. You've got five goals to hit the lead. But we were confident that we could come back, and we had the players to be able to do that. If it went 5 minutes over time, I only say you go as a player, as a supporter, as a lover of the game, you go to grand final day to see a winner. You don't go there to leave. I remember when the siren went, you could hear a pin drop. Some players go, "Do we play extra time?" Well, we actually didn't know. It was a bizarre feeling.
And didn't something in the rooms happen? There was like flooding or something.
Yeah, so our rooms got flooded. So sort of all our bags got moved over to the other side of the ground, and it was a little bit of chaos and all that. But at the end of the day, you deal with what's put in front of you. But my biggest thing out of that is, you go there for an outcome. I don't know why it ever got to that stage.
Glad they changed the rules now.
Oh, so am I, because, it is only a money maker for the AFL.
Exactly.
Is to play it again. And it's pretty disappointing that it comes to that, because there's no better way than to go. It's the end of the season. It's the last Saturday in September. Yet you got to come back and play a replay.
I can't imagine the mental challenge it would have been. Even if you did lose, knowing that you could just relax, even though it'd suck, but just knowing you had to go back there the next week, that would have just been so hard.
Yeah, it was weird. Obviously, a very professional group that we were. I always look back on it and go, there was always going to be a winner and a loser. When I say that, Collingwood pumped us in the end, so they won quite convincingly. But at the end of the day, you've got to get back on the track and you've got to get ready for that replay. So, there's certainly no regrets from that behalf. It's just, you go there to see a winner.
So many
even supporters say that. They felt, that was a waste.
Yeah, well, Nick Maxwell was absolutely giving it to Demetrio, I remember. There's been a few players, because it's obviously 10 years since it's happened, there's been a few players speak about it. But there's so many moments, like Stephen Milne, 9 times out of 10, that probably would have landed in his lap, would have kicked a goal. So, yeah, how did you rate your performance in both grand finals, though?
Oh, to be honest, I haven't even watched them. So it was one of those things that, obviously, I was lucky enough to play. I didn't play the greatest. I'm the first to admit that. Sort of didn't probably play to my structure. But, once again, certainly don't live in the past. You've got to move on from that.
Yeah, and what was the build-up like to that second grand final? I think you had a massive turnout, for the supporters at training.
Yeah, obviously the first one was amazing. I used to surf, the day before the game, and then we had the parade, and I actually asked Ross if I could miss the parade to go surfing, because I didn't want to break routine. But that parade was something else, you know. To jump in the back of a car and go through the streets of Melbourne and see all the supporters, family, friends, you know, just everyone in their element was something that I'll never forget. The second week was just a total, like, blank. You know, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So, once again, you know, luckily they've changed it now because, you know, like any sport, I don't think there's any other sport that goes, oh, we'll come back next week. Like, why? So, anyway, it's good that they've changed it.
Yeah, so after an elimination loss at the end of 2011, Ross Lyon departs and some feared that it might be the end of an era. You played round one 2012, but you were dropped after that, and you never managed to play a game of senior footy again. Do you hold any grudges towards Scotty Waters for keeping you in the reserve side? And have you ever crossed paths with him since?
No, I haven't. And at the end of the day, I'm a realist, so, you know, got sacked. That's cool. That sits well with me. It should have, you know, from a senior coach's point of view, should have been handled a lot better. I suppose my morals in life are as if you're not good enough, you just get told.
Yep.
You know, there's no point of telling someone one side of the things when an outcome's never going to be that. So, you know, we're grown men playing a grown men's sport. You've got to take criticism. Yeah. After the first grand final, we had our exit meetings with, obviously, Ross Lyon and the GM of football. Ross said to me, pardon my language, but why the fuck should I give you another contract? Well, that's how brutal it was.
Yeah.
He goes, get out of the office now. I don't want to speak to you. You know, that's a story that not many people know, but you know what? I respected him then, and I respected him now because he says it how it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's what a lot of people that don't get to live and breathe the inner sanctum, they don't understand how people operate. And, you know, so many times I've got to shut my mouth because there's a lot of people that aren't educated enough to talk about the game. Simple as that. I don't care how you put it.
Oh, yeah.
And they shoot off. You know, you got keyboard warriors. You got people that'll you know, talk the talk. But they've never walked the walk.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that you need those supporters to be passionate because that brings the game together. But there just comes a time where, you know, if it was me walking down the street and I had to go at someone else in another profession, I'll get pulled through the ringer.
Yeah.
So yeah, catch 22 goes both ways. That was my biggest thing. But going back to the St Kilda, yeah, I wasn't good enough. But, you know, I went back and played for Sandringham and played some good games. But I'd sort of spit the chewy as well. I was done. I didn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
I sort of still went back and played for Sandringham and gave it sort of the best I could. Looking back on it now, I got to surf down at Bells and Winky 3 times a week. That was my decision. So, once again, I don't hold grudges. You know, people in those powerful positions, you know, act how they act and it is what it is. But it was, looking back on it, yeah, I was over there and, you know, seeing the boys. And they had a tough year as well that year. They had a tough year. That was sort of the fall from grace for St Kilda where, you know, a lot of the players sort of then started to move on and, you know, that real powerhouse of St Kilda sort of dropped. And I think what it's... Scotty was only there for, I think, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then they moved him on. So,
was he just not honest? Or was he just, like, as you said...
I can only speak on my behalf.
Yeah.
And I just wish that, like anyone, like the old man always says, if you're not good enough, you know, tell the person. Because it's easier to... I don't know, maybe because I can take it. You know, if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. Simple as that. A lot of junior footballers in any sport, or even in the workplace, if you're not... pulling your socks up and getting to work as senior management or the boss of a company or whatever it is, you've got to be able to action those tough times. And that's to be upfront and honest. And you do it face to face. You don't do it through text message. You don't do it through emails. You do it face to face. So once again, you know, you learn from things like that. I take that into how I operate now in work. You know, the last thing you want to do is tell someone by a text message or phone.
Yeah,
face to face is the best way to go.
It's not the same, is it?
Yeah.
That's the world we live in, unfortunately.
Yeah. Did you find that surfing almost helped with your preparation mentally, like going into games more relaxed? Because I know when I bodyboard, I don't surf, but when I have a couple of books during the week, like I almost play better because I'm not thinking about wanting to play well. My priorities are different, and it almost just helps. Was that the same for you, or not?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, first things, I won't hold booging against you.
not the same.
Same, but different. It did help, and I 2011 was a solid year at St Kilda.
Kicked the winner against the Eagles.
Yes, it was a solid year, and I surfed 2 to 3 times a week, but I surfed every day before the game.
Yeah.
So that was our day off. And it was just routine. It just, you know, I used to surf sometimes up to 6 hours, two, three hour surfs on a Friday if we played on a Saturday. And it just worked. It was a really enjoyable time, that sort of year over at St Kilda. And looking back on it, to just fall short, so close, but yet so far away.
Unfortunately, the delisting or sacking, I guess as you called it, comes, which you probably could see. Explain the return to East Freo and for a couple of solid years where you kicked some big bags of goals, including 7 in a state game.
Yeah, well, obviously, I knew early days that I'd checked out on my own accord. So, you know, just to finish off that year at St Kilda and then come back, obviously, I was still youngish. And I thought, you know, you've got to give a little bit back to the team that gave you your first opportunity. Obviously, a lot of my mates played there. I think East Fremantle lost the grand final the year before to Claremont. I think it was... Yep. And, yeah, it was just one of those things that you form back into. You know, you've gone from full-time to part-time. Obviously, the Oval's very close to home. You know, just to give a little bit back. And once again, we fell short... In the waffle in a semi or prelim final to Subi, who
kicked
went on
7 goals, 27 or something. Is that the game?
Yeah, yeah. Which we had many opportunities, but once again, you can't live in the past and go we should have. Once again, we got close, you know, but we were a long way from it in the end.
Yeah, of course. We believe that you do now play for Bunbury at the amateur level. Have you enjoyed that? The more relaxed environment and having a bit of fun with mates.
Yeah, so I would like to share this. I would like to share the story of how I even ended up at Bunbury. It's a very bizarre story. Unfortunately, I won't go into too many details. But it was the coach. It was the coach that I eventually went and played for, because he'd helped me out years before, and I didn't know anyone there, so it was, you know, a bit of a risk. But geez, Bunbury's been great to me. You know, we won a premiership down there, 3 years, potentially, you know, with all this COVID situation, I could still go down and play this year. I don't know. Obviously, I'm getting older. But yeah, Bunbury's a fantastic place, really good competition. There's some really good players down there, both young and senior players. It's a tough competition. And I've enjoyed every moment of it. The South West Footy League really do a good job down there, so credit to everyone involved.
We've got some fan questions, Brett. So they've been flying. We love it when you guys send them in, to keep it up at Centre Square Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. This one comes from Jackson Baker. What hobbies or things do you do outside of the game, obviously with a young family?
Yeah, Jackson, surfing's obviously always been a love. That's been handballed down from the old boy. I love getting out there. You know, the kids, I've got a 3.5 and a 7-month-old. 3.5 loves the ocean. Golf I don't do as much as I used to. Golf's always a really good relaxant, as much as it's the hardest game I've ever played. It still is very enjoyable. And I love camping and four-wheel driving. Love going bush, whether it be coast or inland. It's, you know, to involve the family in that and get the opportunity to get away is always good. You know, it's a love that I love doing.
Yeah, nice. Next one from at Saints TV Official. Best game you've ever played?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
What about the 7 in the state game?
I don't know. That
up there.
That was good. You know, as I said, representing your state, even though it was at waffle level, got to play with the best of the waffle players, kick 7. You know, fell short to beat the old man by 1. I don't know. You know, any game, you're lucky enough to get out there and play is good. You know, I had a couple of good games along the way, but, yeah, no one really stands out.
Yeah, Luke, a bit of a double question for the next
one.
Yeah,
so this one from St Kilda Train and Finney 12346. Favourite player growing up and then team you supported growing up?
Well, it was Geelong, obviously, for, yep, you know, Dad playing for there. It's just that's how you morph into it. A lot of young kids follow what their old man sort of follows, yep, in all facets of life, not just necessarily yeah, footy. And it was Gary Ablett. I've still got the jumper now.
Oh,
I've got a Geelong jumper with number 5 on the back. Was lucky enough to meet Gary through the old man and spent some time with him when I was younger. So, yeah, Gaz was always, you know, just the way that he played, you know, he could win games off his own boot. He was strong. I loved kicking goals, you know, so he was the one for me.
Yep. Jack Gray, unofficial, best and worst player you've played on, so best with and hardest to match up on.
Jesus. And the worst?
So I think that, yeah, like hardest to match up on or one you just do not want to go one-on-one with.
I said this a couple of years ago. Sean Dempster. Sean Dempster played for Sydney.
Yep.
And he was the first person that I got tagged by, and he was just a strong, fit player. And I really struggled against him, and then I ended up being on the same team as him. So Shaunie Dempster from sort of that really one-on-one sort of point of view. But I was lucky enough. But on another note, when you play on someone that can damage you the other way, so they're not necessarily a tag, it's more of a one-on-one. You know, you're dealing with, I was lucky enough to play on Daniel Kerr, Ben Cousins, through their sort of prime, you know, through that 2005, 6-7 period for them. But yeah, there's always, you know, footy's hard, let alone playing on someone. Footy's a hard game, so I was lucky enough to play with and against some of the best.
Yeah, nice. Next one, hopefully I pronounce this right, Valor Longa.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying cricket? Will your team get a win next year?
it's a funny one. I'm not a cricketer. I played two years when I was a junior. We had a very good side back then. And I played cricket this year because my nephew played and they were short. And I said, yeah, I'll fill in. It was 42 degrees on a Saturday. Oh. And I'm like, what am I doing? But I ended up playing 11 games and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great. We didn't get a win. We got close, but we were the youngest side by a country mile. And once again, will I be back? I don't know. Eats into too much surfing time, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, me and Bray, one of the other blokes I knew, we had a similar experience last year. We were one of the younger sides, and we get close every week, but yeah, just didn't end
couldn't
up
quite get the W.
Well, it keeps on sucking you back in, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you get so close. And
the old cliche, one week at a time, we'll be
so
back.
So close, so yeah, so far. Our last one.
All right, last one from Matt 661. Do you think you're a better player than Dean Polo?
No comment.
All right, well, latest news out of the weekend gone. James Stewart's the only bomber to have self-quarantine. Now, Connor McKenna, he did get tested positive, but then came back negative, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. But there was talk of the whole back line that was going to be banned. Luckily, that's not the case. Essendon and Melbourne game will still be played at a different date. To injury news now, not a lot of major injuries. Bulldogs, Josh Dunkley will miss 6 weeks due to an ankle. Xavier Dersma, 3 weeks with a hamstring. And the players with little niggling problems include Samster, Rory Atkins and Dane Zorko, who is expected to return. WA now, and both the Dockers and the Eagles are desperate to get home. And you can probably see that with the way they've gone about it on the field. This Saturday, crowds are allowed up to 30K fans with stadiums and arenas. So it's becoming increasingly likely there's going to be a hub over here that will take place.
Would it be great to have a hub over in here? I know
60,000 on July 18th for a derby. That'd be huge.
And even if it wasn't two WA teams playing, there'd be some good blockbuster clashes over here that I'm sure everyone would go and watch if they had the time.
We got our fair share over here at WA.
Yeah.
July 18th, the Waffle will be brought back 2 weeks originally than planned. Swan Districts versus West Perth. Subiaco take on Claremont. Peel is up against the Perth Demons and the Fremantle Derby between East and South to finish off while East Perth have the bye. And finally, Hugh Greenwood has hit back to Mark Rusciuto on Twitter saying, if only I was younger and slower, after the football director said he wouldn't be in the next premiership teams anyway, as well as going after former players such as Jake Lever saying he's not worth 850K, which I don't think he's on anyway. So it's a bit inaccurate.
Yeah, good to see him fire back. Yeah, I like a bit of that in the AFL when the players get back at the X-Players.
Not done enough, I reckon.
Yeah,
In Strife, Luca.
Yeah, who's in Strife? In Strife, everyone's favourite segment of the week. I saw this one myself, actually. I saw it live at the game and then again on Facebook. Sava Radigalia. I think anyone that does a double fister
away
should be
from
in
their
Strife.
Own goals.
Zach Dawson used to...
Yeah, he never minded the double fister. You know, but double fisting it away from... you know, your own team's goals on the goal line. You know, probably the right idea, trying to keep it alive and create another one, but double fists are not good enough for me.
Doesn't look good when it doesn't come off, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And secondly, Fremantle, you know, I'm a Fremantle supporter and, you know, in the first quarter of that game, I was really excited, you know, and I thought we're going to have a really good game on our hands here. But, you know, it's another loss for newly appointed coach JL. So, you know,
love to handball and to teammates in who aren't in a good position. The skills aren't usually the best anyway, so it's no surprise Port Adelaide killed them in that department in the rain.
Yeah, well, it just looked as if Nat Fyfe was trying to just share the ball around a bit. A couple of times he went for a couple of the 1-2s that weren't really on. You know, and it was probably, just, especially in the wet weather, it's probably just easier for him to send it long and nearly be a little bit selfish instead of trying to involve his other teammates and, you know, with a little 1-2 that didn't always come off.
That feeling as a Fremantle supporter is all a bit too familiar with the so close yet so far.
Yeah, well, it's starting to become a regular occurrence now, isn't it, Noah?
Brett, do you watch much of Freo and St Kilda? And how do you reckon they'll go moving forward?
No, I was lucky enough to do some commentary for ABC over the last 2.5 years. So, once again, if the footy's on, I'll watch it. If it's in the background, I certainly won't go out of my way to watch it. So from St Kilda point of view, I got to commentate twice that they were over here. I think they've got a good young side. And Fremantle I got to watch pretty much when I commentated. So, look, it's an interesting time at the moment. I don't know if you can take too much out of what's going on with, you know, this hub. I just think whoever, I suppose, bonded the best over this COVID situation, it's going to show. And, you know, you look at a team like Gold Coast Suns. Yep. Obviously, they're starting to really play. They've got a young coaching team as well, who looks like they're really understanding how they want to play for Stewie Jew. And I did watch that game, and, Gold Coast Suns are looking really, really good. Fremantle and West Coast, on the other hand, will it change when they come over here in a hub and get those wins that they need to be a force to reckon with? I don't know. I think some of the other teams may have jumped them.
Yeah, well, Noah, is that all in strife, Luca?
Yeah,
not too many, but a couple anyway. Centre Square Player of the Year, Noah, who's getting the votes?
Yes, so I'll start from unlucky to miss. So unlucky to miss the votes were Patrick Cripps, Jager O'Meara, Travis Boak, Ollie Wines and Jai Simpkin. A couple of good players that had some good games, but were unlucky to miss on the votes. But one vote, Matt Rao, had 20, kicked 2. A bit of publicity, his first goal got, which is on the run, outside of 50 on his opposite.
Everyone's talking up this kid, Matt Rao.
They are.
Yeah. You know,
what do you reckon, overrated or not overrated?
Well, he's only played 2
it's
games.
It's hard to say, isn't it? I saw something on Facebook, people were like, he's already better than both Gary Ablett's. I'm like... people, as Brett was saying, some people just have no idea.
Oh, I've seen him play that game. He looks like for a young fella, he's got his head switched on. He's got the body of a man. He can play inside, outside. He's a good finisher. Look, his first 3 games have been outstanding. But that's social media for you. You know, people will put the mockery on you and turn, what are they, all these memes and all that they turn him into? Yeah. I seen one the other day and they said even when he was at school, even the teacher put their hand up to speak to him.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Look,
Jesus Christ,
it seems like he comes from a good family, so I think he's got his head on his shoulders quite tight.
And his shirt tucked in as well.
Yeah, I like that.
They call him Buzz, don't they? Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. Apparently looks like him.
Yeah. No, he's a gun. 2 votes, Steel Sidebottom. Had 31 touches, kicked a goal, 126 ranking points, 6 tackles, 5 marks. Ethan, did you watch that game?
I did.
Yep.
I did half
good
of
performance
it.
From him.
Great player. Very flies under the radar.
3 votes, Lachie Neal. 32 touches, 2 goals, just keeps going from strength to strength. I think, Ethan, you believe you win the Brownlow this year?
I think he's going to be the favourite. Has to be the favourite at the moment for the Brownlow. His game has just gone to another level, but
well, it's just another knife in the heart to all the Fremantle supporters, isn't it? You know, what could have been with Fyfe and Neil in the midfield, but you know it is what it is, as Brett was saying before.
So good call, bad call. It's gonna be Luca and Brett. If I can just grab the questions up, good call, bad call at the same time. Where is it? Sorry, this is bad. This is really bad preparation from me. The first one, Lachie Neal. Is Lachie Neal's is he the sorry, the best ever, worst ever loss from Fremantle behind Brett Peake? Is he their biggest ever loss?
That's on the spot. That's pretty tough because yeah. I don't know who's gone from Fremantle, who's then gone on to play good, but currently just thinking out loud, yeah, it's a big loss.
Yeah,
he's had a great year last year and obviously started off well this year.
Yeah, I think big loss. So yeah, good call. I think you were saying he was a bad.
Yep. No Dusty equals no Richmond.
Bad call.
He's a big on-field leader for them. His Brownlow year was probably the best year he played, and you could really tell that he was on the field. But you know, they can play without him, I feel.
It's time for Adelaide to move Taylor Walker on.
Good call.
Yeah, good call.
Gillon McLachlan is well and truly worth the whopping $1.5 million a year due to all the work he's done to keep the season alive.
Ooh, bad call. He's probably just keeping the season alive to keep the money trickling in.
Bad call because it's not him making those decisions. So he's dictated to by the government, the medical advice. So he's just doing what he should do. It's his job.
Yeah.
Lockie Weller is finally coming of age.
Can't comment. Haven't seen him play. But I'm going to say, with you asking that question, it's probably a good call.
Yeah, a good call. Another player to leave Fremantle. So,
Let's just put Fremantle down while we're here, eh?
Set shot routine is a serious area of concern in our game.
Good call.
Yeah, good call.
And lastly, West Coast still have the best mid in the comp despite being crushed on recent occasions.
Bad call.
Who do you think has the best
mid? Brisbane.
I think Collingwood.
Collingwood, I feel. It's up there. It's probably, Brisbane, Collingwood, top three. But yes, they definitely are up there.
Well, that's it. We're going to move on to the tips now. So our last guest, Lee Kitchen, got 4. So shouldn't be too hard for yourself, Brett. 5 or more, but... Noah, what's the leaderboard updated?
Yeah, I read it out. So, unfortunately, I'm still at the bottom. Had a couple of shockers, only on 12. Luca, 14.
Yep.
Ethan, also on 14. Bray's on 16 and Cal on 17.
It's the same order.
Same order.
From last week.
I think I've closed the gap a little bit.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Well, Cal pulled a couple, he was going for ones that it was a bit of wild card dips, he calls them. So.
Yeah, so... First game of round 4, Thursday night, Sydney versus Western Bulldogs. Sydney are $1.95, Western Bulldogs are $1.85, so going in as the favourites is the Bulldogs. Who have we got?
Sydney.
I'm going to go Sydney as well.
Probably go the Bulldogs. For me, yeah.
I like the Bulldogs here as well.
I like the way they played last week on the Giants, it was a good game of footy, so...
Yeah. We'll do all our tips first, and I'll read the other two boys consecutively. Okay. So, yeah, just next game.
No worries. Friday night, GWS, who are $2.10 versus Collingwood, who are $1.72. Giants home ground, who have we got?
I'll go with the Pies.
Pies for me as well.
I think Toby Green's going to come back, but I still think, Pies will be too good.
I'm going with GWS.
Ooh.
Bit of an upset, but Saturday morning, Port Adelaide versus West Coast. Port Adelaide are the favourites here. This one's at Metricon Stadium. So, who have we got?
Port
for me. I don't like how the Eagles have been playing the last couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, Port.
Port for me as well. I think Eagles are a bit of a momentum team. But Saturday, St Kilda versus Richmond. Richmond are the favourites. This game is St Kilda's home ground though.
At Marvel.
So.
Richmond for me.
Yeah, Tigers.
Yeah, Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond for me as well. Another Saturday game, Essendon versus Carlton at Marvel. No odds. They're still waiting to see if it goes ahead. But if it does, who are we tipping?
Essendon.
Essendon as well.
Essendon.
Yeah, I'm going Essendon as well. Gold Coast versus Freo, also on Saturday. Gold Coast are going in as the favourites. It is a Gold Coast home ground.
Gold Coast.
Fremantle, I'm never going to go against my boys.
And I'm, for the first time this year, I'm going to tip the Dockers.
Nice, I'm going Freo as well.
Hoping they can get over the line. It'd be good for them to, you know.
Hope Fife can put Raul back in his yeah, place. Yeah. As we were saying.
Although I tell you what, I haven't seen too many of the Owen jokes about Fremantle at the moment. So you know, if they go 0-4, it might come back. But I hope not. Although saying that, they'll lose and they'll come back.
Yeah. Sunday, first game of Sunday is Brisbane versus Adelaide. Brisbane are going in as the favourites, as it is at their home ground as well.
Brisbane are going to wipe the floor with them.
Brisbane are absolutely going to belt them. I know Cal said the exact same thing about Geelong. Carlton won, but yeah, Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane for me as well. Sunday game, Melbourne versus Geelong. Geelong are the favourites. This one is Melbourne's home ground though.
They're Cats.
Yeah, Cats for me.
I like the Demons. I'm gonna go with them.
I'm going to go with the Cats. Last game of the round, Hawthorn versus North Melbourne. Hawthorn are the favourites here.
Hawks.
Hawthorn for me as well, I think.
Hawks, I think, you know, they'll continue on where they left off last Thursday.
I'm going to go with North. Upset. Ooh.
Yep, and Bray's tips, Sydney, Collingwood, Port, Richmond, Essendon, Gold Coast, Brisbane, Geelong, Hawthorn and Melbourne, if that one goes ahead. Moving on to Cal, he hasn't sent them in. I'll get on to him later. I think he did send them in, but hasn't saved. So, but from memory, the one he just did the same tips before. But no, last but not least, the quiz: Noah versus Brett, best of five. The guests are always good, aren't they?
I think it's just we're bad.
Yeah. Well. So, Noah, if you lose this, you'll be off.
Are we going buzzers? Like,
so just say your name. Okay.
Are these footy questions?
Yeah, a bit of footy, but there's a few Dockers ones in there, so.
Great. Okay.
So, best of five, say your name to answer. Richmond currently sit ninth on the ladder. As a result of missing the finals due to the supplement saga, which team replaced the Dons in the eight, defeating the Tigers in the first elimination final of 2013? So who jumped up into the eight to replace Essendon who went down and then beat the Tigers from ninth in an elimination final?
Brett. I've got no idea. I actually thought it was the team that got knocked out, but I'll go Melbourne.
Incorrect.
Noah, is it Port Adelaide?
Incorrect.
Oh. Great.
I hope we don't have to keep answering into a script for every team.
Back and forth.
Should I give you guys Melbourne. A clue? It is a Melbourne team, not Melbourne.
What year was the final?
2013.
St Kilda?
Hawthorn.
Incorrect.
Wait.
I don't know how.
Melbourne.
Incorrect.
Carlton?
Correct. Yeah. He's got it. They went on to lose the semi to Sydney, who went on to verse 3 on the prelim in 2013. So that's 1-0. Okay. Who kicked Gold Coast's first ever goal in 2011? And at
their May.
Incorrect. And I haven't finished the question. And at their new club, when they kick four goals or more, their team wins 100% of the games.
I can't answer because I missed it. So you can have a crack.
So they're not the Gold Coast Suns anymore. They started.
Is it Carmichael
there.
Hunt?
I'll say Brett Dixon.
He's got it. Dixon.
Sorry, I jumped the clue. They said that on. That was on the footy.
Yeah. 1-1. In this round of 2017, what annual footy appeal or initiative was played for the first time between North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs, in which it had previously used as a one-day break before?
Wait, what?
So, it's obvious. Name the type of game. So, like an Anzac Day game. It's not Anzac Day, but like what game? Like, what's it called?
Oh, what's
it? It's on Easter. And
Easter Monday?
Incorrect.
Good Friday.
He's got it. I was trying to get a round four question in there, just because it's round four at the moment.
That's a tough one.
So that's 2-1?
Yeah, 2-1.
Now, Peaky, you wore the number 7 for the Dockers and 30 at the Saints. And, of course, now Fremantle skipper Nat Fyfe has that number 7. What was Nat Fyfe's number in his first season of 2010?
Brett. No,
Brett just got in.
I think I might get this wrong. I've got him. 13?
Yeah, he's got 13, it. Yeah. So, you can't win, Noah.
Are we going for honour?
Yeah, play for pride.
Okay. You're not representing yourself, no. You're representing everyone here.
All right. This is a who am I question. We like to finish off with who am I. I was born on the 22nd of February 1986 and am one of 12 players to have represented the Dockers and Saints along with Brett Peake. I do not currently play, but my last league appearance ended in a Waffle League Premiership. I often elect to punch the ball, making myself a cult figure, and have played in 4 grand finals. No wins. 3-2. No, unfortunately, you're off the guest. They just keep doing well, don't they?
Yeah.
What a great way to finish off. It has been a fantastic and full-on show. Massive thanks to Brett for helping and answering some of the hard-hitting questions. Hope it was worth your while. Let's hope, for our sake, the WA guys can go all right, hey, boys?
Yeah, hopefully, you know, we can get footy back here soon. And, good luck to both teams on the weekend.
Not sure if I'll be back in the main seat next week if Bray is back from his little break, but either way, look forward to a variety of discussion one way or another next week. Check us out at Centre Square Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and even YouTube, plus Spotify, iTunes, you name it. As we say at the end of each week, stay safe, enjoy the footy that lies ahead. It's been a pleasure to have you along with us on the Centre Square Podcast, airing on 91.3 Sport FM. It's goodbye for now.